Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
He is Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Together, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as your smart speakers. Phone numbers are always there for you to hang out with us, and especially you want to hang out with us when it comes to the top 10 quarterback list that we're going to let you know. Then you can give us your thoughts at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler talked to a bunch of NFL executives, coaches, and players to compile a top 10 list of quarterbacks. Here's the list from 1 to 10. Aaron Rodgers voted number 1 from Green Bay, Patrick Mahomes from Kansas City at number 2, Josh Allen from Buffalo at number 3, Tom Brady from Tampa Bay at number 4, Joe Burrow from Cincinnati at number 5, Matthew Stafford from the Rams at number 6, Justin Herbert from the Chargers at number 7, Russell Wilson of the Denver Broncos at number 8, Deshaun Watson from the Cleveland Browns at number 9, and Dak Prescott number 10, Keyshawn Johnson from the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, everybody has a list of what they think players should be, how they should be, if they make a list, if this, that, and the other. There's no wrong and there's no right answer. Everybody likes a different flavor of ice cream. Okay? I like Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, and Derek Carr. Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson is in a different category for me because of their certain skill set.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to poll these general manager personnel, so-called people, and find out what it is that these other quarterbacks do that Lamar and Kyler Murray can't do. Because I know what those two can do that those guys can't.
Right.
Like, I know that Lamar and Kyler Murray can sling it with the best of them. And I know those other quarterbacks can too. But they can't pull a ball down and create magic like those guys. And so when you start looking at some of these other quarterbacks, they're the pocket passer, statue-type quarterbacks, sub-zero refrigerators that a lot of old heads, old guards enjoy watching in the National Football League, where these guys are more, you know, they take chances off schedule plays, may not be the – well, Kyler Murray is very accurate. Lamar may not be the most accurate in terms of percentage of passes. He may be only completing 64% of the passes. It's hard as hell when you're throwing the ball downfield all the time to complete 70% of your passes. If Lamar was dinking and dunking in this system in Baltimore, his percentage would be higher.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. Baltimore's passing game is play-action pass, vertical stretch game,
right,
because of the running game. And, you know, he's not hitting all of those targets, so his percentage suffers because of that. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is 1 for me. Aaron Rodgers would be 2.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady would be 3. And then everybody else kind of is mushed up together. I understand the love affair that people have with Joe Burrow. He's cool. He wears the gold chains. He fits into the community. I understand all that. That's
shade,
great.
Shade.
That's just great. They fall in love with that. It's not shade, Freddie. People fall in love with that. Justin Herbert. Oh, he's tall. He's this. I love Justin Herbert, too. He hadn't won anything. He's got to win some games that matter. Josh Allen's got to take a team to the Super Bowl that matters. It's not all on him, but it matters. Because if you're going to judge Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, who, by the way, won the Super Bowl in his first year with the Rams after being questioned from the Detroit Lions, those guys, when you start doing that, they've got to show you something Matthew Stafford showed you.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's Josh Allen's turn. He hadn't even won the MVP, but he's the third best quarterback in the National Football League? Interesting.
It is interesting because we know these lists are subjective and they're based on how people feel. I completely, completely understand that. But there's always going to be something to Lamar Jackson's game that people are going to dissect, especially those in the NFL. For example, an NFL offensive coach said anonymously about Lamar Jackson, and I quote, "Hard to stay healthy when you run that much. He's actually gotten a lot better as a passer. But if you play that way with a run-heavy attack and it's a close game and you're down, it's really hard to win because you're asked to do what you only minor in, not major in, and that's passing the ball when they know you are going to pass it," end quote. You could almost equate that, Keyshawn, because a lot of that was said about Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. He's a bigger, stronger version in terms of the way their body types are along the lines of Lamar Jackson. They did a lot of quarterback power, a lot of quarterback
everything,
run with him.
Everything that the Buffalo Bills did offensively, guess where it came from? the Baltimore Ravens playbook. So if you got him third and you got another dude on the honorable mention list, and then you say, as you are this anonymous coach who probably will be looking for a job next year, so he wants to remain anonymous.
Sure.
Lamar Jackson has been healthy. What the hell is he talking about? Lamar just got hurt this year.
Yeah, for the first time last year in 2021.
Like, what are you talking about? He missed some games because of COVID? It's hard to stay healthy. He's been healthy. So that's a lie in itself. But that's what happens with this sort of stuff. You just start making stuff up that makes zero sense to me.
Here's the deal. When you talk about making stuff up, and like I said, it's subjective. You can dissect it any way you want. But it's always interesting that there are plenty of people that still don't believe that Lamar Jackson continue to be successful as a quarterback playing that way in the National Football League, because his skill set is different. It is hard to defend. It is hard to prepare for because he has such great improvisational skills.
But he's been the starter, Freddie, 3.5 years.
3.5 years. And they revamped the whole offense. They said, move on from Joe Flacco. We're going to have that skill set is what he has. That's what we want. That's what we need, the Baltimore Ravens. And they've been successful. People forget the last year before injuries ravaged this football team.
Absolutely.
That they had the best record in the AFC. Not the AFC North. The best record in the AFC. But to me, they're always going to find a yeah, but with a guy like Lamar Jackson.
Coach Harbaugh made some tough coaching decisions last year or the year before when the team was falling apart. They was messing around, kicking field goals, and instead of going for it. I mean, they was just doing some weird stuff because players were hurt on the defensive side of the ball. They were actually going for it, and you remember all those games. They you're like, well, wait a minute, man, you can just win the game. They're like, nah, we going to do this because we're not going to be able to stop them, or we're not going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. A lot of things factor into what happens with Lamar Jackson. First of all, Lamar Jackson will be a $200 million plus guaranteed quarterback. The Baltimore Ravens, they're not paying him that type of money if he doesn't check all the boxes for that team. That team. And that's the thing that makes me so irritated with these anonymous coaches and general managers who will probably be looking for jobs in the next couple of years any damn way.
Keyshawn,
they don't know what they're looking at.
Well, they think they know what they're looking at, but then when you question what it is, and you know this because you talk to people, when you question what that is, they don't seem to have the right kind of rebuttal that can't call it their BS, for lack of a better term. That's just me. I've seen plenty and heard plenty of evaluations of quarterbacks. I'll never forget, he's Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, and Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. I'll never forget when Jimmy Clausen was coming out of Notre Dame, and more than a couple people thought that was going to be the next great quarterback in the National Football League. And I said, did you not watch
me.
This guy?
No,
I didn't say you.
No, I know.
I didn't say you. But plenty of people thought this was going to be the next great dude in the National Football League at quarterback. And I said, they must be seeing something different than what I'm seeing. I see a guy that was very predictable, very mechanical, and as it turned out, he couldn't play dead in the National Football League. But then you have plenty of other guys that they always either sleep on or don't want to give the right kind of evaluation because they maybe don't fit their box of what they think a quarterback can be, a successful one. And those guys usually seem to be better than anybody could have anticipated in the NFL, the quarterback position.
No question, man. I really would like to hear, Freddie, how some of these guys, you know, when they're write-ups, what they're saying about these quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really would like to really look at their write-ups and break it down, because some of the stuff is just, when you see it and hear it, it's such just trash. It makes zero sense.
And on that note, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, because part of the top 10 list that was compiled by Jeremy Fowler, ESPN Info Reporter, talking with executives around the National Football League about the top 10 quarterbacks, and Aaron Rodgers is number one according to that list. But one of the criticisms about him was that he does not take enough risks. A coach said, and I quote, late in the down with pressure, he won't take risks. On certain plays where he's throwing the easy completion on a smoke route and the game's on the line, you're thinking, is he really trying to win, end quote. When I saw that, I said, I can't wait to hear what Keyshawn has to think and say about that.
Well, I don't know. First of all, whoever this coach was doesn't know what he's looking at. He's talking in coach speak. Okay, because Aaron Rodgers is the best of the best. in pressure situations. Okay, on top of that, I'd rather have a guy go 38-4 than 38-16. Because I feel like I got a better chance at 38-4 to win a whole lot of games than 38-16 by taking those chances and throwing the ball to the other team. So, you know, who would you rather have?
I'd rather have a quarterback that I know, if you put the ball in his hands, more than likely will win that game and get you down the field. And here's why I believe that criticism comes from whoever that is regarding Aaron Rodgers. Because he's seen what has happened in the last two NFC championship games when he did not make plays downstretch versus Tampa Bay. The defense had a lot to do with that. And what they didn't do after the first drive against San Francisco 49ers, and both of those games were at home. I wonder how much of that is like, yeah, you guys love Aaron Rodgers, but he's really not all that great when he's supposed to have the best team having home field advantage and did not deliver the last two times that his team's in the playoffs. I wonder how much of that is based on his evaluation when it comes to pressure and Aaron Rodgers.
It may be based on evaluation, but you can't be a prisoner of the moment when you're talking about these things.
I get it. Sure.
And that's and if you notice me, I ain't never a prisoner of the moment. I'm consistent across the board. Okay? And if Aaron Rodgers continues to stay this way and continues to not win, then it's a different conversation. But because the last year or two hadn't panned out the way that we wanted it to based on the regular season record and into the playoffs with the number one seeds and they getting bounced and things like that, if it continues, that's a different conversation. I mean, it just is a different conversation.
Daniel in Nebraska, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. He wants to weigh in on Keyshawn, Jalen, and Max about the top 10 quarterback list. Daniel, what you got?
Well, I just want to say about the best quarterback in pressure situations, how can that not be Mahomes just based on his playoff record? I mean, how many times has he done it? How many times has he done it in just one game? You know, one of the things I was upset about after that Bills game was everybody's talking about Josh Allen. And Josh Allen's great, but Josh Allen had the best defense in the league. So Mahomes did what he did against the best defense in the league, and I love my Chiefs, but they didn't have the best defense.
So that must be James' cousin.
Yeah, I like this Daniel guy. I don't know him, but I think he's absolutely correct. Yeah, I like it. Excellent call, Daniel.
Yeah, I figured it must have been a relative of yours. There's no question Patrick Mahomes is a pressure quarterback. There's no question about it. And he went at the Buffalo Bills defense, and that was more about the defensive coordinator and Leslie Frazier putting him in a position at the end of the game to allow them to go down the field and just take care of business, where Josh Allen, it's not Josh Allen's fault that the Bills lost to Kansas City. He played a hell of a game. If he would have won that game, we'd still be seeing the highlights and clips of him throwing the ball and running all over and doing all that sort of stuff.
No doubt.
But he didn't win.
He didn't win.
So there you go. He didn't win. Let's just stop trying to make it seem as though he won the damn game.
Here's the problem with Patrick Mahomes, and it's not more of a Patrick Mahomes problem. It's a perception problem. He does so many things spectacularly well all the time that we get lost in that. Not saying you and me, Keyshawn. I'm talking about the average person. That's why I call him the Steph Curry of the NFL. Steph Curry is so great that when he does great stuff, it just, you're used to seeing it. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. And that's why a lot of people are so stunned by what happened in the AFC Championship game, by the mistake that he made at the end of the first half where he didn't throw the football away and get points on the board and they didn't wind up getting any points, and then throwing a pick on the first possession of overtime because we're so used to seeing him being that great because we saw it a week before the AFC Championship game what he did against the Buffalo Bills, not having enough time, then the Bills made a tactical mistake, not kicking the ball deep into the end zone, kicked it out of bounds or whatever they did. They gave him the ball and he was able to go down the field in two plays and boom, to kick the field goal going overtime and you wind up winning. He pays the price, in my opinion, not with me and you, but he pays the price, in my opinion, because he's so spectacular all the time that people look for holes in what he can't do, which is very, very minimal when it comes to a guy like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and it's subjective, right? Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, those are my three top guys. And then there's a bunch of other guys smashed together.
But you don't think Josh Allen's elite, though?
It's not, okay. It's not about being elite. Do I think he has some unique skills and talent that could hopefully one day help the Bills win a championship? Yes. But all three of those guys that I mentioned, they all got MVPs. They all won Super Bowls, and they all played in Super Bowl games multiple times, except Rodgers one time. But when you look at it, Josh Allen has never played in the AFC Championship game, right?
No, he has not. Oh, no, Kansas beat in the AFC Championship game the year before this one.
Yeah, that's right, the year before that. Mm-hmm. Last year they lost in the divisional game.
Right.
But he hasn't taken a team to the Super Bowl. So it's hard for me to put him in their category with that company, given the fact. Matthew Stafford won the Super Bowl. He ain't in there. And his statistical numbers at the end of his career be on par with all of those. But he won the Super Bowl. He ain't in that category. And he just won the Super Bowl. And the reason he won the Super Bowl is because he put the ball in the right people's hands and did what he was supposed to do. So does that make him elite? Because statistically, mm-hmm. throughout his career, the numbers would suggest he would be an elite quarterback.
He's been elite with the Detroit Lions in spite of the organization. I'll say that.
But you can't be elite. You can't be elite if you can't win. How can you be elite?
Well, I think in terms of Matthew Stafford, the numbers suggested to me that he was elite despite having no running game, no consistent coaching, and not a talented defense. I'm not going to punish him for that.
But if I don't have a running game and all I got to do is drop back and throw the football all the time, my numbers are going to be padded anyway.
Well, padded, yes, but
the because if I'm losing in the first half, guess what I'm doing right before half? I'm in 2-minute drill.
You're throwing the ball.
And if I'm losing at the end of the game, guess what I'm doing? I'm in 2-minute drill.
Yeah.
So my numbers are going to have yeast inflate anyway.
Okay, that's why I'll disagree with you in terms of he had no choice because the team had no running game, never put a running game around him. He had no choice, was still able to make plays and keep games close and win games. That's why he had elite numbers to me.
But he didn't win enough. He didn't win enough games because they were never in the playoffs.
I'm not going to place that on Matthew Stafford.
I'm not placing it on him, Freddie.
I know you're not.
I'm not placing on him. But my whole point of this is it's not all his fault. But I'm certainly not going to put him in that bucket just based on him going to the Rams and winning a Super Bowl. When you add everything up, he's going to have terrific numbers. He's got a Super Bowl. Okay, and he answered the bell of all the questions that was looming out there on whether or not he was a quarterback that could win a Super Bowl. But I'm not going to take him and put him in the bucket. So why in the hell would I put Josh Allen in the elite bucket? And he ain't done nothing close to what Matthew Stafford's done.
Clayton in Virginia, 888-729-3776. Clayton, weighing on this conversation, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Key, I have to agree with you 100%. These people rank these quarterbacks in weird ways. And a perfect example is look at Mitchell Trubisky and Daniel Jones. Came out of North Carolina and Duke, didn't do anything in college, and haven't done anything in the NFL, but teams jumped up to get him. And then you got Zach Wilson, who made one throw at the combine, and all of a sudden he's the next great thing, too. These guys haven't proved anything before they get there, so you're absolutely right, man.
Well, no, I mean, you're projecting guys out of college is one thing. I'm talking about in the pros. Out of college, it's potential, projections, what they look like, all of those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody make a throw in a workout, I'm not one of those dudes that go running and crawling and screaming and hollering, oh, my God, I'm looking at the throw. Like, come on, man, nobody's chasing him, nobody. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of context that goes into that.
Sure. Especially
even in college when it's North Carolina and Duke. There's a lot that goes into that. Now, when you start to think about the projections, Mitch Trubisky, he looked good. I mean, he looked the part. He had the arm strength, all that. Daniel Jones, man, they got talked into that one. Cutcliffe told him it reminds him a lot of Eli Manning, and I coached the Mannings and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
they got
Dave
talked
Gettleman.
Into that one.
Yeah,
that
Dave
was a,
Gettleman.
Dave Gettleman got bamboozled on that one.
Yeah, he allowed himself to be bamboozled, but that was not the only draft pick he got himself to be bamboozled on because – Dave Gettleman, the Giants would be trying to overcome that for more than a minute. A lot of decisions that he made that did not turn out when it came, especially that position, the quarterback position, and Daniel Jones. Speaking of New York, Muhammad in Long Island. Muhammad from Strong Island, what you got to say, my friend?
Thank you for taking my call, guys. Key, I just wanted to agree with you about the list with the quarterbacks. Lamar isn't getting the respect he deserves. The rest of those guys got played with or played with. One of the top receivers in the league, Lamar doesn't. Still won MVP, so I'm with you 100%, Key. Another point, last week you was making a list about the top five quarterbacks who keep coordinators up at night. And if I'm understanding your list right, I don't think you were saying these guys were the best quarterbacks, just it's hard to game plan for these guys.
Yeah.
I think that's the point you were trying to make, and everybody just, you know, ran with whatever they thought about the list. But I,
well, they don't listen. They hear what they want to hear. That's part of the damn problem when you're talking, is they want to disagree with you so bad, especially somebody like me. They want to disagree with me so bad, they're not even listening to what we're saying. They're more worried about, his name's not on the list, instead of really understanding what the individual is talking about. That's what happens, Freddie. They want to disagree with you so bad. Yeah, their minds are already made up. They're not even listening.
You know why? Because they want to be right, and they want you to be wrong, and they want to lord it over you.
And that's fine. I don't. That's the beauty about it. Everybody has an opinion.
Right, and you're entitled
to it. I think my opinion is always right, though.
Well, that's because that's who you are, and that's who they are. Lamar in Dayton. Lamar in Dayton, what you got, my friend?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. I just want to agree with Keyshawn. I'm not trying to disagree with everybody, but like I agree with that. Like with the quarterbacks, like you can't put them on a pedestal. Like I remember when Brock Osweiler robbed the Broncos, when everybody thought, "Oh, this is the next Peyton Manning." Like, no, he's not. I never agreed with that. And then look what happened. Like he took all that money and then he left. Like a lot of these quarterbacks are in the middle, and a lot of the analysts and fans, we try to make decisions like, "Oh, I'm gonna push him off the ledge. He's not good," or "I'm gonna put him on a pedestal because he had a good game or a good season." Like, no, you have to wait and see what they do in the playoffs, see if they're actually that good. Don't leave it up to the coaches and stuff. Like, some of it is on the player and the decisions they make.
You know, it's so hard, Freddie, in these situations because you don't want to be condescending to.
Sure.
Listeners and people that value and make opinions and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's hard as hell when you're a professional athlete and you've lived it and you've done it. It's just hard to listen to some people's opinions of certain things. You know, a lot of analysts have played, but a lot of analysts ain't played at the level. And so it's hard when they make these lists and they do certain things. It's a hard one, man. And you sit back and you listen. You're like, Josh Allen's good. I'm not saying he's not.
Right. That's
but
not
he ain't
saying.
There yet.
Right.
He's just not. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn how many great throws he make against the Kansas City Chiefs. Weak-ass defense. Okay? Mike Hughes was put in a bad situation on a bang 8 late in the game. That was a bad situation that their defensive coordinator putting a man in off coverage, 20 yards off the line of scrimmage. Guy makes a move on him on a full run, unimpeded. Mm-hmm. He stumbles, falls, it's a touchdown. That ain't had nothing to do with Josh Allen. Josh Allen threw the ball, but there had to be a perfect route in a bad coverage for him to be able to do that.
And I give him credit for that. But to your point, it shows you how razor thin that you can be a terrific quarterback or not a terrific quarterback more than ever before in the National Football League. That is something Russell Wilson is going to find out even more going to the Denver Broncos. Something that Patrick Mahomes already figured out, Aaron Rodgers. That's what makes that the most important position in sports. Sometimes you have people that make the right evaluation, and other people think they're too smart for the room. Either way, when you make those kind of decisions as a quarterback, it can come back to hurt or help. And exactly how that quarterback's going to play is always a fascinating mystery in the National Football League. He's Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, and Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get renter's insurance to protect the things that make your place a home, including coverage for theft or damage. All you got to do is visit Progressive.com. That is Progressive.com. We switch gears to
Go ahead, apparently Alan. Someone, Dwayne in Chicago, has something to say.
Okay, he does?
Yeah,
sure.
Let's see.
Dwayne from Chi-Town, what you got?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Good,
can y'all please tell Alan Yates to shave, to stop looking like Kyrie Irving? Kyrie Irving is the boss. He's a good basketball player.
I got to cut my hair, bro?
Yes, sir. Cut your hair and shave.
Wow. Man.
Why? What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with Alan's hair in his face? He's allowed to have hair in the beard. What's up with that, Dwayne?
He looks like Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a bum as a person.
Oh,
man, leave Kyrie Irving alone, man.
What did Kyrie Irving do to you?
Why everybody on Kyrie like that?
You know why? Because they think they want Kyrie to be what they want Kyrie to be and not allow him to be what he wants to be.
I'm going to be Kyrie for Halloween, so like that's it's in stone now.
You're not helping.
You get it, man.
You're not helping.
Love it, fans.
It's July, Alan.
It is. You got plenty of time. He's already thinking of Halloween. We haven't gotten to Labor Day yet. He's already thinking of Halloween. But speaking of the NBA and not Kyrie Irving, this other than money – maybe the reason that Damian Lillard decided to stay with the Portland Trail Blazers. That's next on Key J&M. And this is ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Tune in and your smart speakers. Don't forget the phone number to hang out with us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to get to what Damian Lillard had to say about staying in Portland, not just for the money, but to win a championship, and how a lot of people have reacted to that. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. But, Key, you were drafted by the New York Jets.
Yes, number one overall.
Number one overall back in 1996 as a Jets fan. Remember that day extremely, extremely well. But you won your Super Bowl championship with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I thought about this question last night with James, our producer, that what was more fulfilling? Would it have been more fulfilling winning with the Jets, the team that drafted you, or just winning a championship really just kind of cancels everything out no matter who you won it with?
I think when you – okay, so you have to look at it a couple different ways, right, Freddie? Mm-hmm. When I got drafted by the Jets, I was young, but I had outperformed my contract to a whole nother level, and it was time to get paid. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers needed me. They needed me to get them over the hump on the offensive side of the ball. So they traded the two number ones for me to go – and help them get over the hump. Well, guess what we did a year later? We won the Super Bowl. So when you look at that, I'm young. I'll take that from any team, Buccaneers, Cleveland Browns, New England Patriots, Raiders, whoever, in my young career, where Dame Lillard is older now.
Okay.
So for him to chase a ring with another team, opposed to trying to get it with Detroit, I mean with Portland, opposed to going to a Detroit or some of these other teams, is a different feeling. If Dame Lillard had moved on 5 years after being in Portland, he wouldn't feel this way. But he's been indoctrinated in that community. He's been a since day one. He's been nothing but the best in Portland.
Sure.
As far as his career goes. So for him, he's trying to do it for Portland. If he leaves the Trailblazers and goes somewhere else, what does that say? That just means that you're joining somebody else, because a team that he would have to go to has to be a championship caliber team. It's basketball. It's a position. In football, we have different positions in different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
I left New York to go to Tampa Bay, and I was the best receiver in the room. In the receiver room, you know, in the best offensive weapon.
Right.
Opposed to Dame Lillard as a basketball player going to the Golden State Warriors, he's not going to be the best player. It's going to be Steph Curry.
Right.
Going to the Lakers, it's going to be LeBron James. Going to the Philadelphia 76ers, it's going to be Embiid. So he would become the second or the third guy as great as he is. And if that doesn't satisfy him, why not stay in Portland?
Yeah, that's a great point. You can be the man and have different men on a football team where you could be the man in one room and somebody can be a man in the other room, and then that leadership is brought to the table when that happens. Different with an NBA team where one guy's the man, and that's going to be that. And speaking of that with Damian Lillard, he said this is about the commitment to the team, not just about signing 2 years and $122 million plus dollars in extension to stay in Portland.
If I do something that goes against who I am, and say I do end up winning, I know me better than any of y'all know me. So I'd be happy with it because I don't think anybody wouldn't be happy being a champion, but it wouldn't be as fulfilling to me as I would want that moment to be. As long as I have an opportunity to do it, you know, a good opportunity to do it, I'm willing to go out however.
He's not ring chasing because Damian Lillard's like, look, I know that I'm going to do everything I can, and I trust the organization. no question about that. Yeah, that's a $61 million to stay there and not go anywhere else. But a guy like Damian Lillard, when you're used to being the dude, not saying he couldn't handle being a Robin, you're not going to get that kind of money being a Robin anyway, but a guy like him is used to being the center of attention and enjoying that and having be that kind of leader that he's been, it's a lot better from him personally to say, I'd rather stay and try to win this way than ring chase and go somewhere else while I'm second in command behind somebody else.
You know, in everybody's built different. See, I'm built more like Dame. I would have stayed with the Jets, but the Jets didn't give me $61 million. The Jets was playing around with the money.
Yes, they were.
Mike Tannenbaum and company was tripping, you know? And so if they would have paid me, I would have never left New York. And if I would have never won a championship, I'd have stayed in New York and been fine with it. It felt that I had a hell of a career, just like I feel now. So it's like at different stages of your career, if Dame Lillard had left, if Dame Lillard was going to leave, he should have left earlier.
Sure.
It's too late to leave now. Like there's no, because where you going? Because any team that you would go to, in order for them to acquire him, they've got to give up what they have. So if you go to Minnesota, and you Dame Lillard, they got to give up Cat and Edwards. Now what you got?
Not a lot.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like you got to – if you go to L.A., they going to have to give up Westbrook and AD, and it's just you and LeBron now. You know, it's like – so – or if you go to Philly, they going to have to give up Harden or Embiid in the package, and now what? So you defeating the purpose when you have stuff happen like that.
And Damian Lillard's probably thinking, look, that's not something I want to do. I'm happy here. They're happy with me here. And $61 million reasons per year in an extension.
That don't even sound right.
What?
Yeah, it's $61 million per year for Damian Lillard. Not saying he's not worth it.
No, I'm just – it's not that. I just think back to some of the money that some of the other players was making 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like Ron Harper made $2 million. You know, it's just like – wow, that's a lot of money. But then when you think about $61 million.
Yeah, Alan Yates just told me, he said he's about to make $500 million in his NBA career, Damian Lillard. $500 million when it's all said and done.
And that's just NBA money?
NBA money, yeah, not endorsement.
Not including his tennis shoes.
No, nothing. NBA money. The 9-to-5, his regular job.
Man, I got cheated. I blame my mother.
We'll see if Key got cheated when it came to ratings when it comes to Madden football. Also, how Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving continue to rule the rest of the NBA.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max podcast.
So did Keyshawn Johnson get cheated when it comes to the ratings of Madden 2022? Here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max and ESPN Radio, he's Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman. This was brought up by people share our main name is Pat Costello and Alan Yates about Keyshawn's rating. And Pat, you can take this over and Key, you can react about Keyshawn's rating when it comes to Madden 2022.
Well, Madden 22, he's actually excellent.
Okay.
Madden, yeah, people are raving on YouTube about how good Key is. He's like a 96 overall, and I guess he's a sleeper pickup in Madden 22 somehow.
Right.
But through the years, Key, you've been a little iffy in some of your Madden rankings. Your best year was 2001, understandably. I heard you might have won something that year. 95 overall with a 92 speed, 92 awareness. Pretty good stuff. Your worst year easily was when you were a rookie and you didn't even get a name in Madden. They just called you rookie wide receiver.
Wow.
Yeah, what happened there? Yeah. Why didn't you have a name? Rookie wide receiver 19?
I don't know anything about Madden games, but okay.
You were a 69 speed that year, which is basically slower than me. So,
I think they have evolved since then.
I hope so.
The game as a whole.
Somehow from 97 to 98, you dropped 4 speed points, and then you went back up in 99. It's kind of all over the place.
Age like fine wine, in other words.
Great YouTube video about this.
Oh, God.
Your overall Madden average for games you were in without you being a quote-unquote legend, debatable.
Jeez.
85.3 overall from 90, Madden 97 to Madden 07.
Yeah, and the people and an interesting thing is the individuals who's probably making the game and doing the game and never seen me play. Isn't that amazing?
They've never had
a chance to see me play.
Mm-hmm.
All they've done is read things. It's reading things like Keyshawn this, Keyshawn's that. Like you don't even know me. Like you have no idea. And that's the same way it is in general with the games. I'm sure is they've never seen me play, so they have no idea my style was. They don't know what the offense was all about, what type of coaches I had.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny when you look at some of this stuff.
I just want to know how much money you're getting to be part of the Legends category for Madden 22. That's just
Same,
me.
Man. I just work here.
I love
just
that.
Do what the man asked me to do.
Confirm nothing, deny nothing.
That's about all. It's all about perception versus reality.
See, this is when you know we're in the video game world, when perception versus reality colliding with Keyshawn Johnson and ratings from back then and Madden 22 right now. But at least he's getting paid for it. He's not just doing this for volunteer work, so I think we can all respect that.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I mean, I don't understand anybody who signs up for a roast.
By the way, Jeff, Key didn't know what a roast was before we started this segment today.
That's all Key does is roast people. He
That's what
realize.
I'm saying.
Well, I didn't know that, Jeff. I'm like, I guess.
Wait, people do that on a TV show? I thought we do that every minute of every day.
Sometimes the roast is good. Sometimes the roast is great. Here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, tune in, and also your smart speaker. So it seems so long ago that June 30th happened, and Kevin Durant told the Brooklyn Nets, I want out of here. And the owner, Joe Tsai, said, we're going to accommodate you. Here it is more than 11 days later, and nothing has happened. That's not saying things aren't being worked on, but nothing has happened. But then you had this, Key, from Cam Thomas, who right now plays for the Brooklyn Nets. He was on NBA TV, part of the NBA Summer League. And check out his reaction when he was asked about what Steve Nash is looking for him to work on after the Nets played the Sixers in Summer League action this weekend.
I was talking to your head coach, Steve Nash, before the game, and he was saying he's encouraging you both to look for your shot, but to look for your teammates as well. You had 7 assists. You laughed there. Why are we laughing?
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Usually we know that the coach has to be at the mercy of the players, but even the guys who aren't critical, key to the Brooklyn Nets, they're just like Steve Nash, nah, it is what it is.
Yeah, see, I don't know what that means because I need more context to it, but it sounds like to me that he's not really, I mean, it sounds like to me he's saying that Steve Nash is essentially always talking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's just saying anything. Well, That's what it sounds like.
Alan Yates said he saw the video. He said he was rolling his eyes when that question and his answer responded to that question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, man, he always talking, saying something. That's kind of from a player's mentality. When you hear your coach say something or somebody repeat something that your coach says that you've already heard before, it's like, man, please, I don't need to listen to him. I don't want to hear that no more because he's always saying something just to be talking, to be saying something, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they were allowed to have this guy when they had Kenny Atkinson, who was going to make them better players and make them a better basketball team. Instead, they wanted somebody who they could basically govern when it came to Steve Nash. They knew that was not going to be the case with Kenny Atkinson, and they wanted to say, hey, this is the kind of stroke, this is the kind of electricity we have with this organization, and the organization let them do it. So for the Brooklyn Nets now to want to move on from Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, my thought process has always been, well, if you gave the guys this kind of power and you entrusted that with them, even though they had not shown to be trustworthy with that, what did you think was going to happen when things really got adverse and tough and those guys want to still exert their power when it comes to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving with the Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah, but did KD and Kyrie go and get Steve Nash, or did they say, we thinking about hiring Steve Nash, and the guys was like, okay, cool. I mean, so with coaches, it's a little bit different. Like, LeBron James says, I want this guy back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Did Kevin them say that, or was it presented to them and then they just signed off on it because they like, okay, well, fine. I don't really know who else I want to be the coach.
I get the sense it was presented to both of them that Steve Nash was in play.
Yeah.
And they signed off on it. And
yes.
I've always been a big believer that if you allow that to happen, you got to take everything that goes with it, because especially with a guy who had never coached an NBA game and never coached a team before.
Yeah, and there's nothing – look, man, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, I don't know if Steve Nash is a good coach, a bad coach, whatever. Certain people would say he shouldn't be all – whatever. I don't really care about that. He is the coach. What I do know is that those two dudes were not on the court together at the same time often, and James Harden was not on the court with them, all three of them, as often as they would have liked. Had they been from 0 to 60 on the court together all the time, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. We wouldn't even be talking about whether or not Steve Nash is a good coach. Because remember, we were talking about whether or not Steve Kerr is a good coach at the beginning of all this dynasty conversations as well. It was all Mark Jackson, Mark Jackson, Mark Jackson. And then all of a sudden, Steve Kerr started chipping away at it and winning and chipping and winning games and 73 and a championship and back again, another championship. And team depleted, but he's coaching well and championship. And now, all of a sudden, we don't even have that conversation no more.
Results have told
us not to. Because
remember,
he went through the same scrutiny that Steve Nash is going through now. The only difference is they were healthy in Golden State and winning championships.
Steve Nash, by the way, Steve Nash was part of the Golden State Warriors basketball staff. He was part of their strength conditioning, skills coordinator, whatever that title that he had. So Kevin Durant knew about him. That when it was presented to him, Kevin Durant said, yeah, why not? Because I saw what he was able to do being part of the Golden State culture, even though Kevin Durant did not want to be a part of that culture anymore. But now, no matter what happens, and I'm still in the minority thinking this is actually going to happen, Key, that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to be traded. It is going to be very, very hard to trade Kevin Durant if you want to make concessions.
Can't go back.
That's another situation. I didn't think about that, because once you put it out there, and he wants to be traded, you want to accommodate him. And if you can't accommodate him, let's say this is not happening by September and training camps open up later on that month, then that's when things get really interesting in Brooklyn. Because if Kevin Durant's still there, the likelihood that Kyrie Irving is still going to be there, when the Brooklyn Nets let it be known, we want to move on from this whole deal with both of these guys.
But he can't go back. His heart, and people will try to tell you, oh, he's a basketball player. He's a gym rat. He loves to play. Doesn't matter. his heart's not going to be in it. He's not going to go out there and play to hurt himself.
No.
Of course, he's going to play at the highest level, but his heart's not going to be in it. It won't feel the same. You know, that's just the reality of it. That's what happens. When you dangle a guy out there and you let him know you don't want him anymore, even though he requested the trade, you honored it. So when you honor something I request, that tells me you don't want me.
It comes back to the Brooklyn Nets not having enough backbone. And that's not – I'm not punishing Kevin Durant. I'm not punishing Kyrie Irving. When you don't have any kind of backbone, when you constantly cave the demands of people, at a certain point it's going to come back to haunt you. If this organization has shown more backbone, Kyrie Irving decided he wasn't going to play because he was not going to get vaccinated. That's his choice. But they caved on that because they needed him. The minute, Key, that you let somebody have that kind of power over you, that kind of stroke, it's going to come back to haunt you, especially when, to your point, they have not been on the court long enough, but they still know what kind of power they have with the Brooklyn Nets. I just don't get it. I understand it. I know why Kevin Durant wants out. He's like, look, I want structure. This is not the structure I'm looking for. Kyrie Irving's like, look, I'm running this organization, and that's how it's going to go. And meanwhile, each and every time we turn around, the Brooklyn Nets were caving on that, and they wonder why they're in this position. What kind of quarterback is Tom Brady when it comes to the top 10 list? Not once, but twice. That's next with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.